Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, my name is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Once again today, we're joined by Elite Auctions, Randy Grigg, the president of that company, and Mike Grigg, the chief auctioneer. And, you know, Randy, I think I'll just pick up where we left off. We were talking about that Riverside auction, and the gentleman that had purchased that home bought the home out of the MLS, and he really did get a great deal. And he happened to be attending a boot camp, and we had discussed about ways to market it. And in the previous session, we talked about the price deterioration that's going on in the market, and I knew he had bought it well. I just said, you know, if it were me, I think I would just flip it as is and get out of it with whatever number comes out of the auction. And I have to admit, that was one heck of a number you guys got. That was quite a spread. So let's talk a little bit about what went on to get that result. First of all, what was the advertising cost for him in that transaction?
He paid $5,500.
Okay, and that's pretty reasonable. I was expecting $7,000.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've written $7,000 checks.
what we're doing, Bruce, is we're because the internet is becoming so productive right now, we're trying to shave some of the ads, you know, that cost so much, the newspaper ads.
Yeah, you know,
it seems like it's working. We're not getting hurt.
No, then that's the thing. You guys track all the results, and you also show all the results to the client and where the money was spent. So that's, I'm sure, appreciated.
Yes.
How many people showed up to the open houses?
Let's see. How many, Mike, at the open house? Do you remember?
We had, I believe, approximately 80, 60 to 80 groups, I believe, that went through in the 2-day period.
I guess there wasn't too much doubt that was going to be a winner then.
Oh, yeah.
That's a scary number.
Usually when we get that many, we have a very, very good auction. Now, what's interesting is we track them when they come to the auction, too. How'd you hear about it? And very, well, I'm going to say 30% didn't even go to the open house. They went to the auction.
Really?
The winning bidder did not go to an open house.
Okay. Now, the winning bidder live in the area?
The winning bidder actually owned rental properties in that area.
Okay.
So he was very familiar with the area.
So either probably a sign or even one of the postcards would have probably been the advertisement that would have attracted him?
Yeah.
It was a postcard, actually.
Postcard?
Yeah.
Okay. How many bidders ultimately showed up?
We had 38 bidders, registered bidders. They all had $5,000 cashier's checks.
That's
the first time this has ever happened. We ran out of bidder packets when they came.
we gave them number 1A.
That's the 1A. Have plenty. And
that's
I think
funny.
We had 30.
We had 30, yeah.
There we have maybe 20 that showed, and sure enough, we had 38.
Wow. Okay. Now, what kind of shape was the home in?
The home actually was in decent shape. For a wholesale property, it needed paint, carpet, and the kitchen was in rough shape, and it needed updating.
Okay.
Of course. So
it really wasn't in retail tip top form
no,
at all.
No, not at all.
Now another auction company had auctioned off very similar inventory across the way.
Yes, just down the street, REDC. We had heard had sold a house, and we followed up on it, make sure the numbers were right. Similar house, but it was all updated inside. The outside didn't look real good, but the inside, I guess, was really, really nice. Granite counters and the whole thing. And I think they got $98,000, I believe, was the price that they got.
Okay. And what was the final sale price of the one in Riverside?
Final sales price with the buyer's premium. In other words, the number that the buyer had to pay was $147,400.
And as I recall, the purchase price that the guy paid was under quite a bit under 100.
75.
75. Yeah, that's a little bit of a margin.
All he did was mow the lawn.
He mowed the lawn?
He did. Yeah.
Now, you've spoiled the guy forever.
I know.
He's going to expect. I've had that conversation with him. I said, you know, not too many 50 grand checks plus fall out of the business when you mow a lawn, just so you know.
Yeah.
but it did happen to him, and it happened to be on his first one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a great result for both of you guys.
Oh yeah.
And that one has already closed.
Yes.
And what was the time period of that escrow?
I think we got it closed, I want to say, in 12 days, and he had 45 days to close. But I told our client, I said, we need this to close, because if he finds the appraisal is less than that, which it would have come in last, when maybe he even knew that, maybe it didn't even matter. But I say, let's pay his title insurance, let's pay his escrow fees, and let's get this thing done.
You know what's interesting, and you bring up a good point, at what point is something a deal? I would bet if he owns homes in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. he might have paid more for every house he owns than he bought at that one.
That's true.
And, you know, we're so used to thinking that real estate now is so cheap that we forgot that it ever was sometimes three and four times that, and once again will at least be two or three times it, perhaps.
That's so, right.
And,
that's,
you know, and you sit here and look at the interest rates that we have today and all of that. You know, my daughter bought a house. She just got married yesterday, and probably 10 days before that, she closed on her first home purchase. And to me, the deal was the interest rate. Uh-huh. You know, the market was 5%.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's in buyers' minds, too. And this guy obviously knows the area, and that worked for him. And he must have had a lot of company. I mean, what was the incremental overbid at the end of that auction? Wasn't it $500,000 or less?
Oh, we were at $1,000. Mike moves that thing down when we don't get action, and he'll take it down to $1,000. But I don't think it was less than that, was it, Mike?
No. I very rarely go less than $1,000 increments, but I have been known to go to $500 when we're really precedent.
Yeah, but in that particular case, I guess the decision to pay what he paid, there was someone right behind him, at least one person, $1,000 less than that.
Right.
So you know, that's usually how you feel like you have a comfort level. I remember the first auction I ever saw you guys do. Remember that house went from 200 to 300?
Oh, yeah.
And that was the final bid.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought,
that rarely happens now. But
I thought, wow, that's going to be a nervous client, I think.
Yeah. Then the next one, he was saying 400, and then the seller was there, and he like said, oh, if they get 400, I'm just going to die right now. He was turned the other way. He couldn't believe he got 300.
Well, you know, it's interesting, as that was at the peak of the market, or maybe just a little past the peak, and that was really what was going on. And what's nice about being around the business a long time, you look at these things and go, okay, I'm going to put that in my memory bank. Because auctioning off properties right now is a challenge because the buyer is so cautious and there's so much inventory that's lender-owned and competing with it. But when you get into a retail market, a true upside market where prices are escalating quickly, the auction is really a no-brainer decision because you actually will be ahead of the price in the MLS.
That's such a good point.
Because the consumer really will be going, oh, no, you have no idea how much I want this stuff. And they'll prove it by looking at each other and overbidding.
That's right. But that overbidding is really what it's worth, probably.
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing with builders. I'm always surprised that there's not a builder that just auctions off the properties phase after phase when they get into these times where, you know, they have to use lottery numbers to be fair. Uh-huh. So they got 15 houses and they got 200 people that want them. You can't possibly tell me you couldn't put those 200 people on a lawn and exceed your sale price by, you know, probably 50 to 100 grand a house.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're definitely not picking the right number if they have 10 times the willing buyers as they do houses.
Right.
We had that in Rosamond. You know, you guys auctioned off the last two properties after we had, you know, certainly changed, the market had changed. But looking back, we could have easily done that. We could have had phases auctioned off and we would have done even better.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm shift gears a little bit from just the individual auction. Mike, you're now involved in kind of the structure of the entire auction business as president of the California Auction Association. So what are your various duties?
Probably the main duty is following legislation with the California government. They're actually working on some legislation regarding real estate auctions right now, believe it or not, finally. Because so many are being done and there's complaints coming in by the way some other companies are doing things. I'm not going to get too much into that.
No, that's fine.
But and then also a big part of that is assisting other auctioneers in all different fields, not just real estate, with what they need to do to be a legitimate auctioneer. We have annual conferences that we put together as a board where we have speakers from the various different fields of auctions come and talk about their specialty and how we can improve our own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So really the main goal of it is to better California's auctioneer so we can provide a better service to our clients.
Now, you mentioned something interesting, California legislation, let's say, versus national legislation, because there's a National Auction Association as well. So is there are there California rules that would trump a national rule or vice versa?
You know, believe it or not, in California, there's not a lot of auction rules, which, in my opinion, can be good and can be bad.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't want to be burned down with a bunch of rules and things, but you also don't want a guy that doesn't really know what he's doing out there conducting real estate auctions, because every failed auction reflects the rest of the auctioneers that are doing it legitimately.
Absolutely.
Basically, you do have to be bonded in California to be an auctioneer. Auction law is virtually state by state.
Okay.
There are some very strict states, and then there are some completely lenient states. I would say California, believe it or not, is more on the lenient side.
What legislation would you like to see in place for California?
I would like to see, and we're taking a step in the right direction right now, the main issues that people are experiencing with some of the big auction houses that come in and sell REO properties are they're holding deposits for a lengthy amount of time and not getting them returned to the buyer once the bid is rejected from the lender.
Okay.
So that's probably the biggest part of this new bill. And then the number two is the bidding practices, such as bidding on behalf of the seller, which is occurring. That basically means the auctioneer has a reserve price. They're allowed to bid up to that reserve price, even if there's maybe one bidder that's interested in that particular property. They in essence, have a ghost bidder that will bid that person up. There are arguments both ways to this being legitimate, and what we're trying to do is get some verbal disclosure prior to the start of the auction, as well as in writing, to inform the bidders. I don't know if they're going to outlaw it, as long as it's properly disclosed and the bidders understand it's going on. Our feeling on it is we don't like it as our in our company, and we don't use that type of bidding. But
you know, that honestly, that would give I would think an unfair advantage to the people that will do that, because I suppose the client, whether it's accurate or not, thinking that okay, then they will maximize the result, we might sign a contract with people that are really not as capable an auctioneer, and they wouldn't get the result anyway.
Right. It allows them not to market as effectively and have less people and generate kind of a false price based on that because of that. The other big thing that we'd like to see in place is instead of a real estate auctioneer having to be licensed like a realtor, which we are, we're licensed like brokers and agents, there should be an auction segment of the Department of Real Estate or separate entity that has auctioneers take a real estate auction test that's
absolutely
auction specific,
yeah,
not realtor specific, because they're so different. You just can't compare the two. It's almost like a complete opposite method of selling.
How does the California real estate, the CAR, how do they view the auction world?
You know, I don't think that CAR views the auction world negatively. Definitely the National Association of Realtors, there's actually some national auctioneers association board members that are working with the board, the NAR board, which is the National Association of Realtors, and they've put out some pretty good publications actually on their website that favor auctions and talk about auctions in a positive light. I think many realtors out there view auctions as maybe a threat to their business possibly, and it's really not. It should be viewed as more of a tool in their toolbox for a property that qualifies for the auction. We treat realtors well. We pay them money if they bring buyers, and we pay them commission if they bring us sellers.
What is the typical percentage? Well, not typical. Let's say a percentage of auctions that you have that sell. What participation has a realtor? What percentage of time are you paying a realtor who found the buyer?
I would say 10% of the time a realtor represents a client, very rarely.
Yeah. Now, have you noticed any more difficulty closing that type of a transaction if they're in there or
sometimes,
not?
Sometimes there can be some confusion on the 17-day right of rescission because they're so used to that.
Yeah.
And not having that and buying a property as is right now can confuse them with no contingencies just because they're not used to that method. But really, it hasn't really affected the close rate so much. I think a lot of times the realtors that do represent the buyers are actually kind of just invited by the buyer to come so they can collect a commission.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's the view that we kind of get. They're not really telling their clients, hey, let's go bid at the auction. You know, I found this deal. This might work for you.
You know, in other countries, auctions are the typical way real estate is marketed. And United States certainly has looked at the auction business almost as a necessary evil in times just like this. And then when times get better, it all but disappears. Do you think there's a real shot at the auction business getting some permanent foothold going forward to where it'll be at least a regular piece of the landscape?
I think so. It's grown exponentially over the past just 5 years. Each year, with the real estate being the fastest growing segment of the auction business, you know, there's billions and billions of dollars sold at real estate. It's very popular in the Midwest. If somebody calls us with a property in California, but they're located in the Midwest, it's a lot different conversation than a seller here in California. It's almost like, how much do you charge for your marketing? When can you get my property sold? You know, they understand the process and the value that it brings to the marketplace.
And we want to do absolutely, we don't want to mess around with the reserve auction.
It's amazing how familiar they are over there compared to here. California is probably, and maybe the rest of the West Coast, is probably the furthest behind in understanding the value of auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And viewing them almost like a fire sale rather than a quick, efficient way to sell and actually make more money in many cases.
You know, I think the key going forward is that you have the clientele that's repetitive.
Right.
So you might have a hard time talking to an owner one at a time, but if investors got the idea that they could very efficiently retail or wholesale houses that way, then that would be constantly viewed by retail people who would be there and kind of be nudging, you know, their partner going, wow,
right,
look at that. So I really think that your clientele is exactly the direct hit that needs to be going forward, because that individual will always exist and be a multiple property client over, you know, a course of a year and get a lot of exposure. So I bet there'll be a lot of auction companies if they deal with, you know, the bank-owned properties exclusively, or even the private, or count on the private seller. I don't think they'll have a good run of it, but I think you guys really are direct hit on what will be the future of auctioning.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as the market comes back, you know, it starts getting that foothold that it so desperately needs again, that you'll start seeing some of these big auction houses kind of drop out of the woodwork.
Sure.
And kind of go back to doing what they were doing before, which a lot of them did land auctions exclusively, or they stayed more in their area around where their actual office is located. And we'll still be out here, of course.
Yeah.
We only service California. We exclusive, especially Southern California. That's probably, we've done 90% of our auction, 95% of our auctions in Southern California, but we're here as a more of a local touch to the auction industry, and it generates more money. I mean, we've proven it time again than going to a whole wholesale ballroom style auction, because we buy from them and resell on site.
No, I know. That's. Have you guys ever calculated how many miles you drive for auction? It must be scary.
Man. Probably 35 to 40,000 in a year.
Oh, that's all?
That
I would have thought, honestly, I was thinking you guys have. You better not lease your vehicles. It'd be $100,000 a year, I was thinking.
No, that's not a smart idea.
Okay. Randy, what kind of perception changes have you seen the auction business go through over the last 5 years? Because in 02, or, well, let's say 02 to 0, so 7 years, what kind of perception change has taken place for the auction, you think?
Well, you know, it depends on who you would talk to. I think that the general public's going to say, fireside sale.
Mm-hmm.
This is an auction's used to get rid of property, and prices are going to be low, and you can get a deal. Then, on the other hand, when you talk to the investor crowd that understands the auction, like you and several other people, you'll say the auction has really proven maybe to you that it can be an effective way to sell your inventory. So I think it depends on who you talk to.
You know, it's an interesting thing because we've had auctions that have definitely exceeded what we thought. We had that one in Pomona where I was at a boot camp, and mm-hmm. my first question to you was, you said, "Am I sitting down?" And I said, "Yes." Did the final number start with a one? And what I meant by that was, did we get to 100?
Yeah.
And I was concerned about the possibility of not. And then you had gotten to two.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said, when I asked you the question, had we gotten to one? And you said, no, my heart sunk. And then you said it was two something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go, okay, I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And then you have sometimes where you don't get what you thought. And it's just an interesting phenomenon. And you're really always being honest with people when you tell them that you really don't know what to expect on that given day.
That's true.
You know, no matter what you try to do, sometimes that right two people don't show up. The majority of the time that they do, though, but the owner doesn't want to believe the answer sometimes.
You know, what I found, Bruce, and the ones I was very critical at first on the stuff that I was selling through our company, and I would reject a bid here, and I'd reject a bid there, and I'd reject a bid there. I had maybe three that I rejected, and I found out that I shouldn't have rejected those bids, that the bidders said the right price. And it's amazing how in our mind we think it's worth something. And in many cases, it's not. It really is not. And I'm not to say that we're 100%, but I think we're pretty, I think we're in somewhere between the 80 and 90% right on, you know, when we hit a price at auction.
Yeah, it makes sense because that's one thing the auction business does is concentrate on this property in such a way that you should end up with the right people telling you what the number is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so that to me that makes perfect sense. And but you know, you've done the same thing emotionally when you own it and the results come in as unacceptable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just go, okay, well that can't possibly
be
the truth.
Can't be the number. And then I put it in the MLS or give it to a realtor, and then I find out it's unsold and the price has come down below what we got. And so, you know, then you say, well, maybe we did good.
Yeah. Mike, you're president over an association that auctions other than real estate.
Uh-huh.
And how different is that world to deal with? I mean,
you know what? Real estate is definitely unique to the rest of the auction world, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The car guys might say something different, but I really feel like real estate is unique. You don't get paid immediately, number one. You have to go through an escrow period, so you have to have a company that understands escrow, understands dealing with other realtors, and understands real estate. You don't want an auctioneer that sells antiques for a living to sell your real estate. They just don't understand it, just like I wouldn't go and sell antiques. But the rest of the auction industry, there are niches in it, but it's very... Usually the money is immediate. As an auctioneer, you get paid after the sale in cash.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of financing options. Maybe in the car business a little bit, but a lot of times those are all cash sales as well. I just actually did a prop auction at the Pasadena Convention Center for Battlestar Galactica. We sold all of the props from the show, over 1,000 lots over the past over 3 days. And I was up on the stage. It was a great experience, a lot different than selling one house and moving on. I mean, I probably sold 550 lots.
Oh my goodness! And is the chant of that kind of auction different
much
than
different.
That's what I thought?
Much different. It's a smaller increment. You're dealing in hundreds, and you're wanting to move on to the next item quick. There's not a lot of going once, going twice, sold stuff. It's more like get your bid in now and buy it now, or you're going to miss the opportunity. And in that auction, 80% of the items sold online.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
It was such a popular show. And there were people from around the world bidding, I think as far as even Europe and Japan, that were bidding on the items online. It was web broadcast through the auction network.
Okay.
And it was quite an experience. So having that experience and also doing some charity work for Make-A-Wish, I've done all different types of auctions. They're much different, slower chance, faster chance. It really does take some experience to get up there and sell real estate versus props or, you know, benefit auction stuff.
With that, we are done with our show. The phone number to get a hold of Elite Auction is 661-325-6500. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
All right.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.